Thank you very much, Mr. Weber. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning on the seventh day. Like everyone else has done, I wish everyone a happy feast. I trust everyone is enjoying themselves on this seventh day. My children always point out that by the time we get to the halfway point of the feast, it seems to go that much faster, and well, it ends rather quicker than it starts. Pointed for it. However, the title of my message today is for those of you who like titles, is which are you using, map or compass? And I need to give a lot of credit to Matt Court for inspiration, and he's someone me and my wife listen to upon occasion, and I really drew a lot from his message. And just to set some real basic ground rules, a map is a guided direction and step to go from one place to the next, to sketch out a plan or a way. A compass is directional. It points in one direction. It's an instrument for determining direction only. A compass simply determines which way you point, upward and onward. And in this season, I feel that we've lost our way to a greater or lesser degree. COVID has thrown so many things our way, all very unexpected. And none of us were prepared, and none of us knew how we were going to make our way through all of it safely. We are quite literally all over the map. No matter what position you take on things, at any time you can find some article, some specialist, some YouTube, some Reddit to defend that position. And we need to stop looking at a map and focus back on where our compass tells us true north really is. Where? Who should we be? How are our lives connected to our north, our true north, God above? In this season, too many of us have lost our way and our focus. And as a country and a community, and as a church, more importantly, we need to hear from the Word of God who we are to be, and more importantly, what we are to do. So on this Friday, the seventh day, let's open our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Paul says, brothers and sisters, not church members or friends. He calls us family. We are family, and too often we forget that. He says to be a living sacrifice is an act of worship. How do we represent him in this world as an act of worship? Let's move on down to verse 10. Same chapter, same book, 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Our love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another in love. We are to show each other honor and put the needs of others above ourselves. How do we practice that devotion? Put our feelings into actions. Moving on to verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Lacking in zeal does not equate to being spiritually lazy or coasting or being lukewarm. We are to have a passion for obedient service to our Lord. Continuing on in verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Paul gives us very specific, three specific instructions, three steps we need to take. Number one, be joyful in hope. Set our minds on the hope of eternity. We are to elevate our expectations in looking forward. Hope is upwards and towards his kingdom, not outwards towards ours. It's the whole point of this week. How are we winding down the feast? There's never a better time to recenter our focus on the seventh day, I find, on his coming kingdom and the hope we have within us. Number two, patient in affliction. How have we grown or even failed in patience during COVID? I assure you I have multiple times. Doesn't this speak so much to us as to where you are today? Trials do not excuse us. We know that. We are to be patient as we walk through them, though. We have had all our share of tested patience over these last months. And then finally, three, faithful in prayer. God speaks to us in our hope and in our affliction when we pray. We are to hear and receive from God. We are to be faithful and fervent in our prayer. Now, sometimes others say to pray fervently. Prayer is an indispensable tool to get us somewhere we can't get on our own. We have the Spirit as our intercessor, and He speaks for us on our behalf. I like to think of it as a ladder. Prayer is a means to an end, and we need to appreciate its power. It is how we experience the presence of and power of God. He hears you, and He knows your voice, and He listens. Prayer needs to be leaned on to grow our dependence on God. We need to carry our yes to Him and yield over everything else. Think of prayer as a ladder from us to God. It helps us get to Him in a way we cannot do on our own. Then when we say yes to God, He shows up and allows us to move forward. When we don't say yes to God, we give that power over to something else, to our fears, ourselves, desires, wants, even pain, instead of giving it over to God, as we get to know Him better. We learn about God as we pray and surrender. We are to be defined by His kingdom, not ours. Our goal is to know and serve God. Let's move on to verse 13. Verse 13, it says, share with the Lord's people and practice hospitality. They will know we are His disciples by our love. How are we loving each other and supporting one another? How are we standing apart in all of this? We are to give to those in need and practice hospitality, not just do here and there, but practice it actively. I'm not going to ask you to turn today to Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Starting in verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do not be weary in doing good. Be joy-filled and patient. We are to rise up and reap a harvest. Take every opportunity to do good, even when unpleasant and going against the norm, and especially to our family in Christ. We are to put others before ourselves. I recently heard a story about army ants. And the workers, the army ants, will sometimes walk in circles until they die. And as they walk, they leave a trail of pheromones, which tells the ants where to go and makes them all stay in line. That's why they're so efficient. However, in their walking, if those pheromone trails overlap, they will march in a never-ending circle until killed by either dehydration or exhaustion. They walk with no direction, no guiding force to get them to their destination. They are imprisoned by walls of their own instinct into what scientists call a death spiral. Now, this article compared this metaphor of army ants to our response to COVID in that it is a circular response driven by a fear instinct and false hope. In other words, directionless. What do I do? Where do you fall on the spectrum of opinions? As I said earlier, you can find sources to support it no matter what your answer is, I promise. Many believed it would blow over in a month and life would be back to normal. And then what? By living in fear and the unknown, many have walled in by their own unhelpful instincts leading into their own self-destructive frozen spirals. Paul tells us to stop and look and watch out for one another, to stop those being trapped in that death spiral, to look out for others, and truthfully seek in ourselves to make sure we aren't caught up in it as well. Many have chosen their own map to try and build their way out of this thing, but all the while God is saying, hey, I'm still here. There's no map for this, promise. So grab your compass and look up. Come after me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In being here together, we're family. We're in this together. We've been keeping His feast and practicing just a small, small piece of what God has in store for us. Our hope, our focus, our destination is eternal, and we carry that hope and need to live it out. We need to offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice, as an act of worship. Have our love be sincere, to put others above ourselves. And as you seek God, remember the goal is to know and love and serve Him well, especially here as we wind down the feast. Remember the prize keep our hope and direction moving forward toward the destination he has before us all. In other words, choose to follow our compass and not worry so much about the map. I hope all of you have a wonderful, remaining, and safe feast.